you so much. Thank you for coming out today at the Great Pizza Ranch parking lot. Thank you for being here in Newton, Iowa. We appreciate it. Brad said, pound for pound, I was born in Iowa, proud to be an Iowan. I tell everyone everything I need to know in life I learned in Iowa. Coming from Waterloo and Cedar Falls, pound for pound, we were fed Iowa hogs and we were fed Iowa corned beef. You can't do better than that, can you? We love it here. Well, I'm so excited. Tonight, as you know, we're going to be over at NASCAR. Did you see that? That's pretty exciting, too. We're excited about that. We are happy to be here. So now tell me, what do you think about the debt ceiling deal? Oh, should we have raised the debt ceiling? Should we have voted against raising the debt ceiling? Yes, absolutely. What are those politicians thinking in Washington, D.C.? They weren't listening to the reasonable, fair-minded voices of Newton, Iowa, were they? I went to Washington, D.C. and cast my vote against raising the debt ceiling. I did it not once, not twice, not three times, but four times on this deal. Every time I cast a no vote, because I had a luxury of spending a lot of time with real people, with reasonable, fair-minded voices who said to me, Michelle, what are these people thinking? They can't keep spending money that we don't have, right? We can all figure that out. We knew that. They passed this very stinky bill. It's kind of like, have you ever heard of Limburger cheese? It's kind of like a Limburger cheese deal. They passed this deal, and what happened yesterday to the markets? It went down 512 points, the ninth worst day in the history of Wall Street. One thing you can't do, you might think you can fool the people, you can't fool the marketplace. And so the marketplace said, no dice. And isn't it interesting, that happened yesterday on President Obama's birthday. So the birthday present he got was a huge drop of 512 points in the market. And not only that, what was the president's response? He threw a barbecue last night at the White House to celebrate. One thing I will guarantee you, President Bachman will be canceling barbecues if we see the market go down and if we see the jobs report going down. We will cancel it. Today we found out the new jobs numbers. We found out that only 117,000 jobs were created across the country in the last month. That is not enough to even keep up with the number of people that are going into the marketplace. We're happy that it didn't tick any worse, but this is not good news going forward, because what is the big thing that we need to be thinking about now? Jobs. Jobs. Where are we going to get the jobs? The president has been in his job for now over two, going on 3 years. Has he done what he said he was going to do? Has he delivered? Not only has he not delivered, he said he was going to tackle the deficit. Well, what's happened on the deficit? During the time that he's been in office, the debt has increased well over 35% in the time that he's been there. That's not helping the economy, because what is it that the economy wanted to hear? People all across the country wanted to hear that we were finally going to get our spending addiction under control. Well, what did we just tell the rest of the world? We told the rest of the world, we think we want to be Greece when we grow up. Now, what kind of smart thinking is this? I'll tell you, the Iowa legislature doesn't do that. You have a law here in Iowa that says your legislature can't spend more than 99% of what they take in. Does that sound like a good idea? I think so. Do you know what a good job your legislature did? Like Brad, where's Brad? Like Brad Zahn over here and Senator Kent Sorensen from Indianola over here. What they did is they really listened to all of you, to their constituents. They said, we're going to do better than spending 99% of what we take in. We're only going to spend 95% of what we take in, because as bad as the economy is, we may see the revenues actually go down rather than go up. Now, that was smart thinking. Now contrast that with Washington, D.C., that sees what's happening in the economy. We took $2.2 trillion in this year in revenue. That's your taxes out of your pocket. We took $2.2 trillion in. And not only that, now we've just, on top of that, given President Obama an extra $2.4 trillion to spend beyond that. In fact, let me go ahead and show you. Let me write these numbers up on the board. These are scary-looking numbers. Let's just take a look. Sometimes seeing is believing. Have you ever heard that phrase, that a picture is worth a thousand words? Take a look at these numbers. $2.2 trillion. Here's hundreds. Here's thousands. Here's millions. Here's billions. Uh-oh. Here comes trillions. This is how much money you and I sent to Washington, D.C. this year. $2.2 trillion. How much of this do you think Washington spent? See, Iowans, you can always count on them. They're always at the top of the class. You know it. The politicians spent every bit of this. How much more than this do you think they spent? They spent, let me write it down, $1.5 trillion more than what they took in. For a grand total of, they spent $3.7 trillion. Now, will you promise me, no one here tell Barack Obama what comes after $1 trillion? Promise me. We can't afford to go any higher. Now, consider, this is what we spent in 1 year, and we've just given him permission to spend an extra $2.4 trillion. Now, this is unbelievable. We didn't even have this money. The $1.5 trillion, now we've just given him $2.4 trillion more. I don't know about you, but when I grew up in Waterloo, we never in our right mind would have ever considered spending money that we don't have. How about you? That's your surest ticket to the poorhouse. That's what my mother would tell us. My mother always told us when we grew up, she said, be grateful that you were born in Iowa. Be grateful that you're from Iowa. She said, Iowa is the greatest state in the union. We're the breadbasket for the entire world here in Iowa. Iowans know, they've got clear thinking. They know what you do with finances. They know that you can't possibly spend this kind of money. Because if you do, what will happen? You won't see job creation in the United States. And so what have we seen? Month after month after month of unemployment at 9.2%. Today, 9.1%. We're not creating jobs. Indianola, Iowa. I was down at a great company called Cement Tech. They're the number one creator of volumizer mixers. Those are those cement mixers that turn around that you see that they use for construction. Indianola, the number one producer in the world of those mixers. It's a great company, 100% employee owned, well over 200 employees, doing a great job. But what happened? The economy has gone flat on its back. The housing and construction industry has gone flat on its back, whether it's residential housing, commercial building, flat on its back. So what does that mean to a company like that? They've gone from well over 200 employees, now they're barely holding on at 100 employees. Here's another great company in Webster City, Electrolux. My grandmother had an Electrolux vacuum cleaner. Any of you have an Electrolux vacuum cleaner? What a great company. The number one revenue producer was the Webster City plant. Why not? They had fantastic employees with a great work ethic. Electrolux is gone. Lock, stock, and barrel, they've left. Why? It's because the United States of America now has among the highest tax rate for job creators in the world. That's what we're known for. Other than Japan, we're the highest job creator taxer in the world. Well, where would you go to have your company? If you're going to create a product or a service, would you be in the United States where you pay about the highest tax rate in the world, or would you go somewhere else? And then employers see that a bill called Obamacare passed. Obamacare is going to require over $500 billion in new taxes. On top of all the taxes we're all paying now, over $500 billion in new taxes. Well, why in the world would you want to have to grow your business when you're facing an economy that has $500 billion in new taxes with Obamacare? That doesn't include the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, which I call the job-killing agency of America. Look at all the restrictions they put on farmers, on local businesses. People want to create jobs. People want to work. But the federal government keeps making it more difficult and tying cement blocks onto employers. Well, the question is, can we do better? I know we can do better. We did in 2006. In 2006, two-thirds of all jobs that were created in this country were created by employers like Pizza Ranch, small businesses that employ maybe 50 employees or less. This year, these same companies are only creating 48% of all those jobs. 2 weeks ago, we found out a report from the Chamber of Commerce. They said that next year, two-thirds of small businesses plan to create zero jobs next year. That's the miracle job creation engine of America, small businesses. And two-thirds say we're not creating any jobs. In fact, another 12% said they're going to cut jobs. This is bad news. That's why in Iowa, you are so privileged. People all across the United States wish they were in your shoes, because a week from this Saturday, you get to be the down payment on taking this country back and making Barack Obama a one-term president. That's what you get to do. And that's exactly, with your help, what I want to do. I've been trying to take the voice that I learned growing up here in Iowa of reasonable, fair-minded people who I heard talking, who loved me when I grew up. That's the voice I've taken to Congress, and I've stood up on principle over party to stand up for what I know to be true and what we learned here growing up in Iowa. That's what we need to have in the next president of the United States. We need to have someone who is new and different, who's going to stick by their guns, because behind this dress is a titanium spine. And I developed that spine growing up with three brothers and no sisters. That's the best preparation any girl can ever have for politics, by the way. You learn to stand up for yourself and you learn to fight for what you believe in. And why shouldn't we? We're America. Because I believe that the United States has been the greatest force for good in 5,000 years of recorded human history. We are a fantastic nation. We've proved how generous we are to the rest of the world. When Haiti had an earthquake, who was first on the scene? When Japan had their nuclear meltdown, who's first on the scene? During the terrible tsunami, who is first in the scene? The United States of America. Why could we do that? Because we have been the economic powerhouse of the world. Why? Because we had freedom. We had freedom to build up businesses, create jobs, and create wealth. All that we hear out of this president is he continually wants to ding down and stamp down hardworking small businessmen and women like the people that own Pizza Ranch. In his eyes, this is big evil. The people who create jobs. That's not what I think. I think that job creators are the backbone and the blessing of this economy. We need more of them. So instead of castigating, build them up. Because isn't the greatest thing we can do for anyone at any part of the income scale is have jobs. Good jobs. I don't know how you feel about this, but I am so tired of seeing jobs go to China. I am done with that. I want the United States to remain the head and not the tail. Instead, we're told that very soon, maybe even within 5 to 10 years, China will be number one in the world as a job creator. Why would we want to do that? Because if we do that, that means that they will be the economic powerhouse. When you have wealth, what are you able to buy with your wealth? The most powerful military in the world. We have been a force for good with our military in the world. How would we feel if our military diminishes? And by the way, under this debt ceiling bill, did you know how this works? The first thing that gets whacked and with a hatchet is defense. I don't know about you, my dad in Waterloo, Iowa, signed up to serve our country in the U.S. Air Force. I love our men and women in the uniform. My dad served in the Air Force, my stepdad in the Army, my brother retired full U.S. Navy. Don't think for a moment that we would be able to gather in a place like this today and talk about the future of our country without the sacrifice of our veterans and the liberty that they bought for us. I admire and respect our military. And as Commander-in-Chief, that's right, they deserve that respect. As Commander-in-Chief, I promise to you that will be my first duty to secure the safety and security of the American people. I know this because I'm privileged to serve on the Permanent Select Committee in the House of Representatives on Intelligence. We're a very tiny committee, and we have to be, because we deal with the nation's classified secrets. Every day, I am confronted with the threats that come to this country, both within our borders and to the United States from without our borders. And one thing everyone here should keep in mind, every day, not a day goes by that people don't wake up thinking about how they're going to kill Americans today and how they're going to destroy this country. And our president has to keep that uppermost in their mind. And I will guarantee you, as President of the United States, I will stand with our allies like Israel. I will not call on Israel to withdraw to their indefensible 67 borders. And I will stand up against our enemies like Iran, who want to become a nuclear power against all of the UN resolutions. They've already declared that they intend, once they have that nuclear power, to use it to wipe Israel off the map and also to fire it against the United States of America. I will stand up to those enemies. And that's what we need in the President of the United States. I will tell you one thing you will not see President Bachman do. I will never go outside of this country and apologize for the United States of America. We have nothing to apologize for. We have been a force for greatness across the world. And another thing you will not see me do is appoint any czars in the Bachman White House. There will be no more czars. We also will read the bills in the Bachman White House before we sign them. And by the way, I do have to apologize to you and confess I did not bring teleprompters with me today when I came to speak to you in Newton. And it's because I knew you could take the raw, unvarnished truth. That's exactly what we're going to have from this White House, is the truth. I am thrilled because I know that we can do so much better. And it really isn't that hard if you try. And it's not enough just to put the other team in the White House. We've been there. We've done that. I have voted for President George Bush twice. I love him. But there are things that I disagreed with as well with President Bush. And I think what we need to do is have a president again. And I think what sets me apart from the pack is the fact that I have put my neck out on the line. I have stood up against my party on issue after issue. I stood up against my party on the $700 billion bailout for Wall Street. That was the wrong vote to take, in my estimation. But for that $700 billion blank check that we gave to the Treasury Secretary, no strings attached, but for that bill, I don't know if Barack Obama would have ever gotten his $1 trillion failed stimulus, which, by the way, it's high time that he admit was a terrible failure. He said we wouldn't see unemployment go above 8%. It's 9.1% today. It's been a long time since it's been down to 8%. And a matter of fact, He's really failed. He's failed everyone, but he's really failed Hispanics and African Americans. Do you know what the unemployment rate is for Hispanic youth today? Over 36%. Do you know what the unemployment is for African American youth today? 39%. You want to talk about hopelessness for young people who need those first jobs. I saw it myself earlier this summer. I was in my district, and I was visiting restaurants asking them, how is Obamacare going to impact your business? How is the federal government impacting your business? And I had an owner of the restaurant say to me, I have 60 employees. I have to get below 50 employees because otherwise Obamacare will apply to me. And so a 17-year-old girl came in and asked for a job application. One of those kids that wants to have their first job. And he said, I'm sorry, dear, I'm not hiring this summer. I'm trying to fire 12 people right now because the federal government is going to tax me if I get above 50 employees. What is wrong with the government that puts an incentive into place so employers have to start getting rid of workers? That's what Obamacare does. I was the first member of Congress to introduce the repeal of Obamacare. And you need to know this. I will not rest until we repeal Obamacare. Yeah. This also sets me apart from all the other candidates. I demonstrated as the member of Congress was the first to act on repealing Obamacare. I will, as the nominee of the Republican Party, I will work tirelessly late day and night to elect 13 more Republican members of the Senate who also have a titanium backbone who will swear to me that they will vote to fully repeal Obamacare. Not part of it, all of it. Because we're going to repeal that bill. But then we're going to repeal Dodd-Frank that makes it impossible to get credit in this country anymore. Then we're going to go through and we're going to go through the EPA right down the line and get rid of all the job-killing parts of the EPA. We're going to have a very good time in Washington, D.C., putting this country back on track so that the economy can work again. It's actually pretty simple if you try. But what we have been missing is a real person in the White House. Someone who's not about politics, who's not just about the party, who's an authentic person who's going to do what they say and say what you mean. I may not always be the most popular person in Washington, D.C., but what I want to be is the most popular person in the hearts of the citizens of this country, because I want to take your voice and your heart and your mind to Washington, because I trust you a lot more than I trust the politicians who are worried about how Washington is going to fare. I worry more about how Newton, Iowa is going to fare. That's where my heart will be. I love our senior citizens. My stepdad is now 87 years old. My mother is now 80. And when I saw that President Obama stole over $500 billion out of Medicare, I went to the White House. And I was a part of a group that asked the president, what are you going to do to save Medicare, Mr. President? What's your plan? We asked him that 3 times. What's your plan? Do you know what his response was? He didn't have a plan. He mumbled Obamacare. Do you realize this is what his plan is for all of us? Obamacare. In all likelihood, Medicare is going to collapse. We know with the current projections, it may not even last till 2017. Hey, it's 2011 right now. If that's the case, where do you go for your health care? What's going to happen? You go into Obamacare? We already know what he thinks about senior citizens. He took over $500 billion out of Medicare. So what are you going to get? Well, this is what you're going to get. He's going to put 15 political appointees on a board called IPAB. And these 15 political appointees will decide for over 300 million Americans what kind of health care we're getting. Now, I don't even know if I trust 15 people to decide what all the people of Newton, Iowa are going to get for health care. Are they going to know what you need, and 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 we're going to trust them over what our doctor would recommend? 15 people. For the whole country are going to decide. So let's say they say, well, gee, we can afford 10,000 hip replacements this year. And they run out of money by July. And you're 10,001. And you've got to have that hip replacement. Do you know under President Obama's plan, which is already law, by the way, today, there's no right of appeal. You have nowhere to go. You can't sue them. There's no right to sue them. You're out. It's tough luck, Charlie. That is not America. That's not the way we do health care in this country. And that's why I say to you, this is absolutely imperative that we have a president who gets how bad these bills are, who understands the problems, but yet who understands the solution too, and who will fight for you, tooth and nail. I will fight for you. I will not rest until we repeal it, until we set this country back on the right track, and so that we are leading from the front. President Obama said of his foreign policy, get this, he said, I am leading from behind. Yeah. Now, when have you heard a president of the United States ever say he is leading from behind on foreign policy? I won't. President Bachmann will lead from the front. I will not lead from behind. And the president is leading from behind on the economy, too. There's so much bad news out there right now. But the good news is for Iowans, as I said again, the whole country wishes they were in your shoes right now. They wish they could go to that straw poll on Saturday, August 13th, and cast their vote to take the country back. Because we need a candidate that we can trust, that we can believe in. We need a unifying candidate who can beat Barack Obama, and I am that candidate. I want to take your voice because we aren't just Iowans. We represent a movement. Do you know that? All across the country, we represent a movement. It's not just Republicans. It's disaffected Democrats. Every time we have a meeting like this, people come up to me afterwards and say, I'm a Democrat, or I voted for Barack Obama. He won't have my vote this time. Independents say that to me. People who have never been political a day in their life say that to me. I'm a unifying candidate who wants to take your voice and this movement to the White House. And on August 13th, we'll do exactly that. We're going to have live, for your entertainment, Randy Travis in our tent. We're going to have Lone Star, Little Texas, Charles Billingsley, and the worship team. We are going to have an extraordinary, never-before-seen day in Iowa, but it will be historic on August 13th. Because that will be our day that we have our down payment of taking the country back, and we will together make Barack Obama a one-term president. So God bless all of you, and God bless the United States. Come on out to the straw poll. Bring carloads. Bring busloads. We'll help you organize. Raise your hand to be a bus captain, and we will help you get to the straw poll. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming today.